You know, this is our last service this year. And I'd like for the Lord to meet with us. And I thought maybe before we sang a song or anything, if we could just all make some repentances to the Lord. If you don't have anything to repent for, well, you can help me. Pray, ask God to forgive me. You know, in Israel, they prayed for, they even had sacrifices for unknown sins. I'm sure there's things I've done that hadn't even come to my mind that God would like for me to develop and grow above those things in this year to come. And I thought, before we have this service, would y'all feel with me just to stand and just personally ask God, Lord, would you forgive me if there's anything in my heart wrong? Would you touch me here tonight? God, if we could stand on holy ground, if you could touch us here. Oh, precious Savior. God, cleanse us here tonight. Oh, God, we're finishing up a year, entering into a new year ahead of us. God, touch each one of us, Lord. Forgive us our sins, Lord. Our condition, our spirit, oh God. Cover us and impute your righteousness to us, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, let us stand before you clean tonight. Blessed Lamb of God, cover us, oh God, with your shed blood, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, bless your people here tonight. Bless our songs and each word that goes forth. Lord, would you touch it and anoint it? God, let us feast on you, sup with you here tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, precious Jesus. Precious Lord and God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Lamb of God, we give you praise here tonight. Amen, amen, amen. Praise your wonderful name. Praise the Lord. Well, if you're here, you're blessed. You're still, the Bible said it's a live dog is better than a dead lion. I don't want to accuse any of you just being a live dog, but if you're alive, the point is if you're alive. You're blessed. Hallelujah. God let you live another year. Jesus told his disciples, he said, your time is always. He had an appointed time. He knew that, but he was letting them know that they didn't have a promise of another. Just the Lord trying to get your attention. See, some of you wasn't paying attention. Sister Tara, see, we got your attention, didn't we? I don't mean to pick on her. She just easy to pick on, yeah. Anyway, we're glad to be here. I think that a watch night service is in order. I think it's something that we ought to do, and I think we've got biblical reason for it. We need a new battery.
Need something, huh?
So, Sister Oates, his cousin, is still with us back. We're here Sunday night. I'm so sorry I wasn't here to greet you then. I've just been kind of under the weather the last week, but thank God for good men and people that can carry on when you're not able to. But Brother Orville and Sister Cindy Beechin, is that right? Beecher, all right. And their granddaughter, Brianne, is that right? All right. I think you're both y'all's granddaughter, isn't that right? Both sides, so she's double blessed. Or they are one. I don't know how y'all got that figured out. But we're sure glad to have you again tonight. God bless you for being here with us. You know, I thought I'd just get up and get my part out of the way. But, you know, Israel, God, I think what God did in the Bible has great meaning and purpose. And he had Israel have three main feasts every year. And their final feast of the year was in the seventh month, which would equate to our September or October, the fall of the year. When their year ended and a new year began. They had actually two calendars that they followed in Israel. One started in April, what would be equal to our April. Sometimes it would fall late in March. And that was their ecclesiastical year, their Pentecost, Passover started at that time of the year. But then their final feast of the year ended in the fall of the year, and it was called the Feast of Tabernacles, that they were to, it was to be a holy convocation. And a convocation means an assembly. It was to be a holy assembling of God's people. And they were to have this for 7 days. And they were to have a feast. And it was for several purposes. One was to rejoice in the blessings for the harvest of the year. Their harvest started in the spring of the year. And, of course, ended like ours does in the fall of the year. And if you read the Bible very much, you know that Israel depended on God's blessings for their harvest. Sometimes God cursed them. Sometimes they had famines because they were out of favor with God. But he had them to have a Feast of Tabernacles every year to give thanks for the harvest, the God's supply, God's taking care of them through that year, his blessings on their life, like this song we were singing, I'm Blessed. I think we are to look back on this year. We are to stop every year, at least at the end of the year, and if we, you know, we should do it more than the end of the year, but I sure think at the end of the year we ought to consider that we're to be thankful for what God did for us this year. There's, you know, I'm just thinking today, you know, of all the car wrecks and all the people that's been injured. Nobody in this assembly was injured in a car wreck this year. There's, you know, there's lots of sicknesses that's taken place, and accidents, and we haven't had an accidental death this year in this church. I think there's a lot of things we can look back in this year and thank God for his hand on our lives and his covering, and then his provision. God's, you know, he's provided. You may not have got everything you wanted, but I don't know of any one of you that's went hungry this year. I don't think anybody's went without food or, you know, or without any shelter. But God's provided for us. His provisions, his blessings have been on our lives. And so it's a time to be thankful. It's a time to look back and show our appreciation to the Lord the things that he's done in our lives. You know, they were to be thankful for the natural fruit, and I think we should be for that, but I think we ought to be thankful for spiritual fruit too. Because God's continuing to feed us spiritually. I don't think we're lacking in spiritual food. I'm not saying that we're batting 100, but I think God's given us wonderful, wonderful spiritual nurture this year. Every year, I think God just, he keeps touching us, touching these brethren to give good messages to this congregation. And then one of the things God had them do, they had to put up tents for 7 days and live in tents. I didn't ask any of you to bring a tent with you. And we can't hardly, in our society, it'd be hard for us to take a week off here and all of us move into a tent. But we can, you know what that was for? That was so that they would never forget where they came from. They'd never forget the wanderings in the wilderness of their forefathers, what got them to the promised land, how they got to where they were. You know, there's a song that says, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. So I think we ought to, from time to time, we ought to rehearse in our minds, go back over what God has done, how he got us here. There's other people. Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, you're going to reap where you didn't sow. We're reaping today where our forefathers sowed and labored. There's men of God that worked ahead of us, that paved out the road, that made a way for you and I to know something more about God than what we would have known had no one been working out a road to heaven. And there's been people of God faithful on the job. We're a blessed people. This is a blessed body of people. God's touched us, give us a revelation of a restored church in the end of this world, and helped us to see Brother William Souders, way back in the early turn of the century, was a reformer that God called and began to show him that in fact, I don't know of anybody ever. I have never read about it. I've been a student of theology. I've never heard about it, about any other man using the term body of Christ before William Souders. But God gave him a revelation. In fact, when I came among this body back in the 70s, I had never heard anybody using that term, the body of Christ. It wasn't heard out in religion. I made my way through almost all of the charismatic movement, through most of Pentecost. I was searching. God somehow put a hunger in me for something more. I was looking for something more. But when I came among this people, they began to talk about the body of Jesus Christ. I'd never heard that term. As you know, today, everybody uses that term. I don't know of anybody in religion that's not using the term the body of Christ for the church. You know where they got that from? They got that from the revelation that God gave William Souders. The message, this message is getting out. It's getting out in this world. That's how it works. It's line upon line, precept on precept, here a little and there a little. There's several things I'd never heard of. I've never heard of a fivefold ministry. Just right before I met this people, that began to be preached. But this people had, I came in the 70s, and they'd been preaching a fivefold ministry for nearly 70 years. And I'd never heard of that. And I'd been in all of Pentecost. And God was revealing. God was showing Brother Souders that the body of Christ in the New Testament church was a corporate body of people made up of many members that God had added together, that Christ was the head of, and it wasn't separated by all these different organizations and denominations that man has made. Brother Souders got that revelation. God put it in his heart to call people out of all of this religious conglomeration into one body. He got that revelation in Ephesians 4. There's one body. There's one faith. The New Testament church didn't have all of that division and separation and arguing over doctrine and all of that. They had to stay together. Jesus taught them that. He prayed, and in John 17 it's recorded where he prayed, "Father, make them one, even as you and I are one." Jesus prayed that God would unite those 12 apostles together, and that they would stay together, and that they would hold one body together. And they did it. They didn't separate and divide and do all of those kind of things. But God put something in their heart. They saw the need for staying together. They saw that where, you know, how good and how pleasant the psalmist said it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He said how's that go right there? It's like the oil that ran down on Aaron's beard. Let me help to get the rest of it. If y'all can put it up there for me. Psalms 133. let's just read it. I can turn to it, but if they put it up, it'd be good for y'all to see it. And I'm not quoting it exact. I want to get it just right. If y'all hear that, it's my phone ringing. I've got it on vibrate, but I got it up there. "Behold how good and how pleasant is it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Behold how the next verse. It's like the precious ointment on the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. The next one. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore." God's purpose and God's blessing of life was wrapped up in the law of Moses. And but the psalmist, when that was written, it was prophetical that anointing of a priesthood, that God would have a ministry, a high priest. Jesus, that was a type of our high priest, Jesus Christ, and the anointing that God gave him, that covered him, and that he was clothed in that righteous anointing of God that brought life forevermore. Hallelujah. I'm thankful today for what God did through Jesus Christ and what God has given us. I've got an appreciation for it. I'm not excluding any of God's people. Don't get me wrong. I'm just thankful for where I'm at. This is where God called me. And so, you know, I want to be faithful where God called me, what God called me to do. And I still have a hope and a vision for a church like the New Testament church, that all God's people are in one body, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one Father, who's above all and through all and in y'all. Hallelujah. And so I'm still holding to that. And I know it's biblical. I know we've got it in the Bible. Too many scriptures that has been revealed to us that God's restoring his church. He didn't stop with Brother William Souders. He's dead and gone. There's still men today that's projecting a vision of a restored church and for God to finish this work, finish making up his bride down here in the end of this Gentile world. And so I think it's important for us here. You know, this is the last serve. If you're a singer, this is the last time you'll sing in 2013. If you're going to sing, you better do it tonight. It's the last time you'll testify. It's the last time you might dance this year. In fact, let me tell you something. There's going to get a day when you can't hardly dance. You better dance while you, if you can dance, you better dance while you can dance. Because there's a day coming when you're going to think, I wish I could get out there like them young ones and dance and shout and express my gratitude and my joy of the Lord that's in my soul. All I can do is just whip my eyes can bob up and down with you. And I still jump up and down once in a while. And I'm going to try to do better this next year. If the Lord will touch me, I may dance a little more this year than I did last year. If I can kick up my heels a little bit, I'm going to do it. And you know, manifest the joy of the Lord. Because I've got a reason. I've got something down inside of me that this world don't know anything about that can make me joyful when there's maybe not nothing to be joyful about. But there's still a joy. All I got to do is just dwell just a little while. Just meditate just a little while on the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, I think we ought to camp here tonight a little bit. I think we ought to get your tents out and you ought to start thinking about how you got here. Some of the things that your forefathers did that got you here. Some of the things you've experienced down through the years that's kept you here. And remember, you know, if you've been through some wilderness, if you've been serving God very long, you've been through some wilderness experiences. And, you know, you can remember some of the things that God's brought you through that might not have been very pleasant, but God was in it. And he's brought you through it. You're on the other side of it. Or maybe you're going through a wilderness experience. Maybe you don't need too big of a tent. Maybe you got your own going right now. That's all right. God will help you. He'll help you through this wilderness experience. If you'll stay faithful to him, he'll be faithful to you. He'll take you right up to the promised land. He'll help you make it through. Brother, I was thinking about the encampment, and it brought back to my mind what Brother Leniger gave us on camp. You remember how he gave us the word camp? I think we ought to rehearse that once in a while. He said, camp, C-A-M-P, your encampment, your camp is your conversation, your attitude, your motive, and your priority. And he said, you know, and he talked to us about those things. I put them in a little bit of order just to talk about it just a little bit with you here tonight. I'd just like to remind you some things and help you if I can, and even help myself. It'll help me. The going over these things helps me sometimes. I think if you have to determine, you know, in the conversation, attitude, motive, and priority, what's the, you know, most important of that? What's the foundation of putting those things in your life? And I would have to say that it's the attitude. Most of you know I'm a pilot. I own my own plane, several planes, or a few planes. I won't say several, but a few in my lifetime. And I sold my last plane just a few months ago, and I haven't really got used to saying I'm not never going to fly again. But I probably won't. I probably won't own another plane. I still kind of think about flying every once in a while. I think about, you know, every once in a while I just kind of fly one in my mind. You know, I just take off down the runway and pull back on the yoke and get my eyes on all the instruments. And one of the main instruments in an airplane is the attitude instrument. It's the instrument that shows what attitude you are in with the horizon of the earth. Shows if you're, it's actually called an artificial horizon. And we always say your attitude determines your altitude. If you're climbing, you're getting higher. If your attitude's down, you're going down. You're going lower. And of course, there's always ways of checking, you know, there's checks that you can tell when you're flying. If you're climbing and your attitude, your artificial horizon is above the artificial, there's a line across there, and there's a floating a horizon that when you turn, it'll turn, showing you're turning. If you're climbing, it'll go up above the line, so you know I'm climbing. Well, if you're climbing, you can look at your speedometer, and your speed will be dropping because it's taking power to climb, and you're losing power. And also your altimeter that shows your altitude will be going down. If you're, you know, 2,000 feet, it'll just start going down, 1,900, 1,800, 1,700. Or if you're going up, it'll go 2,000, 2,100, 2,200, you know. And you can see even how many feet a minute you're climbing. But it determines your attitude, determines what your altitude is. And that's true spiritually. I would have to say that your attitude is the most important thing. Spiritual attitude is the most important thing that you can attain in your spiritual life. And the foundation to the right attitude is humility. That's the attitude you have to have to serve God. You have to have a spirit of humility. It's your balance, really. Here's what it is. It's your balanced response to God's authority. That's what humility is. You've got to respond. God's got authority. He's our creator. And he's the one that's in authority. And you and I have to respond to God's authority. In the earth, Jesus isn't here in person here now. But he does, we've got his word, and we do have a ministry. And, you know, I don't care if you're not saved, you still won't be successful in life. Young people, give me just a little bit of time, and I'll try to help you with something. Your attitude throughout life is so important that you know how to respond to authority. If you're in school and you don't know how to respond to that teacher that's in authority, you won't do good in that class. That teacher will not like you. If you give that teacher trouble, and you don't humble yourself down and become a working part. You've got to learn how to work with authority. Same way on a job. Some people never get this. They never learn how to just humble down and work under the authority, whatever authority they're under. Sometimes it's not may not be a good authority, but I'll tell you something. I remember Brother Durham, when we moved to Springfield, Missouri, Brother Durham went looking for jobs. We moved there, you know, we were in a bad situation. We were in a church that a man turned against the ministry, and we were kind of left out in the cold, and God dealt with me, and I moved. I resigned the church that I was over, and I moved to Springfield, Missouri, and there were 7 families that wanted to go with me. I was so discouraged, I didn't want anybody going with me. I didn't want to pastor a church. I was sick of it. I was discouraged. But they said, "You can't leave us. We've been faithful to you." Well, that, you know, what do you say to people like that? You know, said, "I'm stuck with you. I've done everything you've asked us to do. We've been right here on the job paying our tithes. And you're not up and leaving us." I said, "Oh, okay." You know what I told them? I said, "Well, look, we'll have home services. We ain't getting a building. I don't want no more people than y'all." You know, we weren't there 6 months. They said, "We found a building. You know, we got to get this building." And we did. But we moved 700 miles, 7 families of us. Brother Durham was trying to get a job. He had 5 children. He didn't have a job. And I was painting the Billings Fire Department. I was out there rolling paint on the wall. He come around back behind there in the parking lot where I was painting. He said, "Brother Smith, I can't find a job." I said, "Why can't you find one?" He said, "I don't know, I just can't." And I told him, I said, "Will you do what I tell you to do?" He said, "Yes, sir, I will." I said, "You get up every tomorrow morning and you go looking for a job. And if you don't get one tomorrow, you get up the next day and look for one." And I said, "The first person that offers you a job, I don't care if it's for minimum wage, take it." And I said, "When you get that job, you get in there and you work for them people like it's Jesus Christ." And I said, you get on that job and you do the best job of anybody that could do a job. And I said, "I'll guarantee you it won't be very long. If God don't give you a better job than that, it won't be very long. Somebody will see what you're doing and they'll hire you. You'll get a better job and it won't take you long to get it." The next day he came by. He said, "I got a job." I said, "Hallelujah." He said, "I'm making minimum wage." I said, "Praise God." He said, "Well, it's not much, but it's a job." I said, "Do what I told you, Brother Durham. God will bless you." You know, just a few weeks by, a guy went in there and watched him, seen what he was doing, kind of waited till everybody left, walked up to him, said, "How would you like to go to work somewhere else?" He said, "I've been watching the way you've been doing in here." He said, "Well, I'd be glad to talk to you about it." So somebody hired him. He got another job, making more money, harder job, breaking his back. It was tough. But he worked it. He had to carry... He was an apartment maintenance man. He had to carry refrigerators by himself up and down stairs. I remember you coming telling me about 3 flights of stairs, he said. He ain't going to let me forget it. But it wasn't very long that somebody saw him again. And I believe it was it from there, Brother Durham, you went to work for Springfield Schools? He wasn't qualified. Everything they asked him, he said, "No, I've never done that before." But they hired him anyway. And he stayed there for how long? 22 and a half years. And left out of there with a retirement. And now he's working for Little Rock Schools. He's got his master's plumbing license. And God's blessed him. He'll get a second retirement and draw Social Security too. You can't tell me. I know God's principles work. They work. And he, you know, you just have to humble yourself. You got to be humble enough to do what whoever's in authority, you got to recognize. You know, some people today, you know, you ever notice how you go into stores? And I don't want to make this very long, but I'm going to touch a few points. You go into some of these stores and some of these young people treat you like, you know, you're just lucky that I'm waiting on you. Let me tell you something. When I came up a boy and I worked in stores, it was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. What can I do for you? I'm sorry. I'm sorry that happened. Let me take that to the manager, see if we can get it fixed. Let's see what we can do for you. The customer was always right. And you always smiled and you always treated them like they was the ones paying you and writing your check. Because that's what your boss told you. Said, these people in here buying this stuff is writing your check. If you don't want a check, well, just don't treat them right. We'll get somebody in here that'll treat them right. That's how they taught us back in those days. But we've got a problem out here in this world, and I don't know how to solve it. But I don't know how to solve the world's problems, but I know how to solve yours. If you'll serve God and obey the Word of God, God will bless you. And His blessings will be on your life. And it's becoming rare. Righteous people are rare in this world. And somebody will appreciate the goodness and the wholesomeness and the balance that's in righteous people's lives. And we're still living in a time where we're not living in persecution. God can still bless you in America. It may be not quite, it's not even nowhere near the nation that it used to be, but it's still the best nation in the country. God still hasn't lifted His covering completely off this nation. I do think He will judge it, but right now there's still the blessings of God. You can still get in God's blessings. And so, but it takes humbling yourself down. Peter said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He'll lift you up in due season. I know that's really talking about the ministry, God's hand. But God does that through a ministry. It's the same way in a church. You'll never get anywhere in a church. I'm telling you ministers, y'all know this, but I also want to remind you. Nobody, no pastor is ever going to lift you up and use you unless he knows he can trust you. And if he finds out you're running him down and talking against what he has to say, or you try to challenge him, and you're not on the team. And, you know, you can say, well, I don't want to be a yes man. You better learn to be a yes man if you want to get somewhere in this world. That doesn't mean that you've got to be, a puppet. I found that out. I found that out myself. To be humble enough to work under authority. God's got men He's put in authority. And let me tell you something that happened to me. I got involved with some men that weren't really men that were men of authority. They disqualified themselves. I experienced that in my ministry. I experienced working with men that disqualified themselves in authority. You know, I almost made the mistake of putting every man, all of God's men, in disqualification, and I was judging all of them. I got in a critical spirit. But let me tell you something. That's one of the worst hells you can get yourself into, because you can't get anywhere with God with that kind of spirit. You have to get to a place where you can recognize God-given authority. And as long as men have got the right kind of spirit, they're trying and they're working, they're willing. They've got a spirit to back up. They've got a spirit to humble down. They've got a spirit to repent. Those men, and if God's working with them, you better be careful about going against the man that God's working with. I've had to learn that myself. I don't care if you can find fault with them. Yes, men of God are humans. They're not perfect yet. But you better be careful about putting your hand on the ark and start trying to judge men of God when God lifted them in a place and gave you a place under their authority. You got to be careful about that. You want to be careful how you operate in the kingdom of God, because if you don't, you'll find yourself in a place where God cannot elevate you. God, you know how God elevates you? It's the same way. Authority's authority. I don't care if the world has barred it. You know, you go out here and work on a job. If your boss... You don't humble down, and you're not really trying to get that man's mind and learning how to work with him. He's not going to raise you up. He's not going to make you into a supervisor. He's not going to put you as one of his right-hand men. You're not going to take his job ever. Not unless he disqualifies and you're really a better man than he is. If you are, then be righteous and stay on the job and do the right thing, but still don't rise up and put your hand, you know, to that man. Don't cut off his skirt like David realized he was fixing to get in trouble with God when he tried to cut off David's skirt and Saul's skirt and judge him ahead of God's time. He had to let God do that. And so that's, I'm talking about attitude. Our learning how to work under God's authority, work with God, learn how to you know, keep the right attitude, learn how to succeed, learn how to get up, go up. If you get down, you get in a negative attitude, you start going down. And if you get too low, you're gonna have a collision. You're going to have trouble. And so I think the most important thing we can do in serving God is have the proper humility. And it has to be true humility. You can't get lower than what you really are. There's such a thing as false humility. You know, you can be a sham. You can, you know, and that's not right either. It's a hard thing to learn to find yourself in the kingdom of God, but you can do it. If you'll seek God, you can find yourself. You can find God's will. You can find out how to answer the call of God that's on your life. And it starts out with having the right attitude. Having an attitude, and it works all the way through life. You'll succeed in life. If you get on a job, you know, and you think you're boss, you find faults with him, you know, you think you're equal to him, you think you can rebuke him and call him down and get up on his same level, you're just ruining your chances of advancement. You're ruining your chance of that man helping you. He's got power to help you. But if you won't let him, if you got a spirit that he can't work with, you won't let him advance you. You won't let him help you. And it's the same way in the kingdom of God. There's a way to learn how to work with authority. Some men never learn it. They cannot humble down. They can't get humble enough to, you know, they think the world owes them something. They think the world's done them wrong. They're always looking at everybody else's fault to blame somebody else for why they haven't succeeded in life. When the truth of the matter is, they haven't succeeded in life because they don't have the right attitude. You got to learn how to humble yourself before God. It works in this world, but it only works for a limited time frame because you'll get entangled in the world and the world will bring you down. But if you're humble before God and he's the one that's lifting you, God's blessing you, you know, God favors his men. He lifts his men up. He gave them favor with other men. He gave Jacob favor with Laban. He put it in Laban's heart to give him all of those ring strikes. And then he put it in Jacob's mind of how to put them ring strikes out in front of them goats. Why, did y'all know you can't put ring strikes? You can't put stakes ringed up. You can't put some kind of striped stake in front of a goat when it's eat and it's going to have striking babies? God did that because he put it in Jacob's mind to have faith that God would bless him if he would do what God put in his mind. He had enough sense to know them stakes wasn't making them striped babies. He knew God was doing that for him, but he was just doing that in faith. And God put it in Laban's heart to let him have what he told him to have. God puts it in men's mind. God will make your enemies be at peace with you if you'll just learn how to have the right spirit, the right attitude. And it takes humility to work. That's the A in camp. It's humility. It's attitude. Your attitude equates to humility. You'll never get any higher than having the right attitude. Your attitude will bring you down. Then the next is motive. Your attitude determines your motive. Motive, that word is, that's where the word motivation comes from. Your motive is your inspired, I'll say it's your inspired behavior towards a purpose. you got to have inspiration. You got to have, you know, if you get to sitting around, you get down in the dumps, you're not inspired to do nothing. For long, you're just down in the dumps. You ain't inspired to do, you don't have any inspiration to do anything. You're just a dud. You know, I've been a dud before. I just got down in the dumps and just dudded out. You know, I just didn't feel like doing nothing. And the longer you do nothing, the more you feel like doing nothing. Something's got to inspire you. Let me tell you what will inspire you is the right attitude. Humility before God. And, of course, faith is what causes you to humble yourself. It takes faith, but I'm talking about somebody that knows God and is walking in the way of God. It takes humility to just get saved, you know that. But your inspiration, what causes you to, you know, there's a word called motif, which is it's an elaborated part of a piece of music that, you know, that just it goes over and over. It's a repeated elaboration in music or art or architecture. That's what a motif is. It's the motive that the song, the art, piece of art or the architecture is trying to put forth. And your motive, you got to have a purpose in life, and something's got to inspire that. And the right attitude is the only thing that will inspire the right godly motive. And your motive has got to be realizing God's blessings, His favor, His benefits, learning to develop and even champion God's principles in your life. If you can see the benefit of working in God's order, working in God's, getting God's favor, if you don't see that there's benefits in serving God, there won't be a purpose. There won't be a motive, a reason. But if you can understand, if you can humble yourself enough to see that God will bless humility, and you can see that God will bless. Here's something I've learned. It's something you have to learn in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're going to work in a church, if you're going to work in this church, you're going to have to learn something about humility and working in order. If you want to have a voice here, if you want your gift to operate here, then you're going to have to work in a way that it's accepted. See, I've had to learn that in the ministry. If I want to have a voice in the general body, you know, if I feel like, you know, I see things that needs corrected or needs help, there's areas that I can see that we need some help in. I don't think I'm the only person that sees that the body could use some help in certain areas. There's things we could improve on. And I think there's a lot of people that can see some areas we could improve on. The difference is, if you don't have a voice to help that improve or to fix some certain, if you don't have a voice in of authority, you're not going to change anything. And it takes wisdom to learn how to get authority. It takes wisdom to learn how, as much as I hate the word, you will have to play in the arena of politics to some degree. You have to realize that politics works in the kingdom of heaven. What I mean by that is you have to be careful to challenge men who are greater in authority than you are. You'll have to learn how to hold yourself, hold your foot in the kingdom of God. That's part of learning how to work under authority. Even if you see somebody doing something wrong, if you know you don't have authority to fix it, you better just hold yourself still. And you have to work in areas where you will be accepted until you get a voice. You'll have to pray and ask God to help you, and you have to leave things alone that you're not big enough to fix until you get to a place that somebody starts recognizing your spirit, your humility,
your willingness to work with whatever you can work with. See, I'm not telling you to be political. I'm just telling you to recognize politics is involved. And I'm just telling you, you better not get involved in playing politics. But you will have to honor the power of politics if you ain't got enough power to do something about it. And so you will have to work and be patient and let God, and if God don't want you to fix it, you ain't never going to fix it. But God will use you if you work right and get the right attitude and your motive is right. See, if your inspiration comes from God and God's principles, you're really working under the righteous principles of God, then God will bless you. So, I'm still working on your camp, by the way. Y'all, I'm just helping you get your tents out and remember all the things that God gave us to help us get us where we're at tonight. What God's done in our lives, how he's helped us to get where we are. This little message on camp is not my message, it's Brother Linegar's, but I'm going to keep it alive because I think it's important. And so, our motive... It boils down to obedience unto righteousness. That we learn how to be obedient to God's righteous principles. And that's what causes us to realize that, you know, God's benefits, what it benefits me, how God lifts up, how he lifts me up, how he will work. God can lift you up even when men may not want to lift you up. But I'm still telling you, God does have authority. And if you don't, you've got to work in a realm of authority in a place where God can help you. Because he put those people, he'll back up men that he's put in authority. And he's slow to wrath. God's slow to take men down out of places of authority. God realizes that men makes mistakes and that men, and he also realizes that other men that's watching them and persecuting and cutting them down probably couldn't do as well as they could in the same position, or he would have put them there to start with probably. So God puts men in places and in positions, and he's patient and works with them and lets them flub the dub. Everybody know what flub the dub means? That's just an old Arkansas or Oklahoma word for messing up. God's that patient. He's that wise. He'll let you mess up. He'll let you make mistakes. And true men of God recognizes that about God, and they become merciful. The way God's been merciful to them, they become merciful to God's people. Because they realize, you know, God's been so merciful to me, you know, I need to be merciful to others. And so, you know, our motive is important. And then our motive is what determines our priority. You will not be able to make decisions and establish the right priorities in your life if you haven't first got the right attitude and learned how to develop the right motive. You'll never be able to make the right decisions to be able to know how to set and establish proper priorities in your life. I've worked with people, I'm sorry, but I've been pastoring too many years not to know something about it. I've got to work. People don't ask me for my counsel, I don't offer it. Very seldom do I ever offer. When a man don't ask me, what do you think I ought to do? I don't tell him because he ain't going to listen anyway. He don't want to know. He thinks he already knows what to do. Or she. I don't waste my time on that. You know, if I see a person is hungry and wants help, then I'll try to help them. I'll try to at least share the things I've learned or the things I've learned by watching others and what they've went through. I've entered into some people's labor, some things I haven't had to experience because I've seen others go through experiences. I've seen the outcome. And so, you know, to make the right decisions in life, to establish the order of what's important in my life, how to make the right decisions. I've watched some people make wrong decisions. They become old men and old women, and they never have been successful because they just continue to make bad decisions in life. And the bad decisions just keeps taking them down the wrong road, and they can't ever figure out, why can't I ever get ahead? Because you won't take any counsel. You won't humble yourself. You won't let nobody help you. You think you know more than anybody else anyway, and somebody starts trying to help you, you shut them down. If you could get it while you're, it's easier to take while you're young. The older you get, the harder it is to take counsel from somebody, because you do, you're older, and you may figure some things out in life, but it's just harder to be corrected. You know, like the old saying, it's old dogs, it's hard for old dogs to learn new tricks. So, I am, by the way, going to try to get to the plate, back to the part of rejoicing and looking, being thankful for the last, we went through last year. But I'm just trying to remind you of the camp right now. I'm just trying to help you remember the wilderness, what's got us to where we're at, and to be thankful for the wilderness that we come through and remember how it brought us here and the principles that got us to where we are. And, this helps me. It helps me to rehearse these things, because there's things, and I think I can shore up some things in my life. And I'm down here, and this year, I want next year to be a, I hope. What was that? Somebody, you read something to me, honey, that yesterday that was really good. What did it say about, maybe you'll remember it, but I was hoping I could remember that tonight, about doing the same thing. Maybe you'll think of it in a minute, but you read that to me, I think, yesterday, and I thought, that's really good. And I wished I'd have said something to you about it to help me maybe remember it more, but it said something about, and I think it was on Facebook, but it was a good saying. It said something about doing this, doing the same thing that you've done. No, it wasn't that saying, but it was close to it. But it was even better than that, I thought. But anyway, our priorities too is I think our priority to establish the precedence of importance in our lives, it ought to finally take us to where Paul got to when he said, if by any means, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings, that in other words, that's my priority, is to please God and to get what Jesus came to give me, and that is a resurrection unto life eternal. That's my priority. Now, there's several principles of priorities today that I want to please the Lord. I want to try to do his will. I have I made mistakes. I've done things that I've looked at and I thought I shouldn't have done that. I'm going to do better. I'm going to discipline. You got to be a disciple. You got to put some discipline in your life. What's that scripture in 2 Corinthians 10? To bring every imagination. You want me to read it right quick? I think it's 2 Corinthians 10. For he said, we walk in the flesh, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So, our priorities has got to be to fulfill God's righteousness and to attain to this life in the Spirit that Christ attained to, that he was our high priest, that he was our example. I think Brother Pryor used Sunday night the word template. He used Christ as our template. I agree with him. He is our chief template. And he's our pattern that we're to follow. He laid down an example and a pattern for us. And then our priorities, if we get our attitude and our motive and our priorities right, and that spells amp, don't it? You're going to have to amp up in here. And then see that the beginning of this word camp, I think, is the conversation is what develops. The word conversation, the original, if you go back to the original word for conversation, it's the manner of conducting one's self in life. It's your behavior. Conversation really doesn't, it really, even biblical, in the Bible, when you study the word conversation in the Bible, it really has to do with the life you live, not the words you speak. It's not what you say doesn't, you know, it's like that old saying, what you say doesn't mean near as much to me as what you do. And that's what your life bespeaks. We are written epistles, Paul said. If this word of God is written in the tables of our heart, it becomes a part of our character. It gets in our spirit, and it speaks something out to everyone that gets around us. And I know sometimes it may be a mystery, you know, to people, but they'll see that there's something about you. There's something, I see you're blessed of God. I see that there's blessings on your life. There's something you've achieved. There's something you've learned. There's secrets that's working in your life, God's secrets. And so it works in our behavior. And that causes us to be champions of faith. This is all a walk of faith. You have to. Humility is a work of faith. You've got to have faith. You've got to believe the Word of God. You believe in Christ. You've got to continue to walk in it. And your behavior gets formed. God begins to transform your life and change your spirit. It works in your spirit. People will start seeing something about your spirit, how your spirit has changed. You know, they'll get around you and they'll think, you're not like you used to be. You're not like Brother Weiniger was just telling me today. He said, your spirit's changed. I appreciate him telling me that. That encouraged me. He said, you used to be arrogant. You're not arrogant anymore. I don't know if he said I was arrogant, but he didn't say it like that. But he said, you know, all leaders among us has had shown some arrogance because they get lifted up in a high place, and it's a place they got to learn humility in. He said, I've seen God work on you. I thought, well, he's saying this in a kind way. But he's telling the truth. I know he's telling the truth. But I'm glad that there's some change showing. God knows I want to change. But I still know that there's areas I need to change in too. So I'm using these things to work on myself here tonight. If you can, you know, use some of it, we'll just rake some of it into yourself. If you got pitchfork religion, we'll just pitch it off on somebody else. But if you could rake some of it in for yourself, it might help you. But look, not only are we to remember where God's brought us from and the principles that got us here, the things that's working in our life. You know, that's what God had the Feast of Tabernacles for, was to end up a year, to give them a week, a whole week to think about and meditate on what I've done for you, how I blessed you this year, and you're fixing to go into another year. But before you go into that year, he said, we're going to have the Day of Atonement. That Feast of Tabernacles ended with the Day of Atonement to get all their sins washed away. I think it's a good thing here tonight if we could leave here saying, I feel clean, I feel like God's washed me and made me whole, and I'm ready to go into another year. I feel like I've got some things cleared out of my heart, my mind. I've let some things go, things that's hurts and things that are you know, have hindered me and I've held on to. I've, you know, all of us has had some hurts. Every one of us has went through some hurtful times and hurtful experiences. And sad to say, they come right here in the kingdom of heaven. It's not, you know, the world's not working on me right now. I'm not having any trouble with people out here in their world. It's in the kingdom of God where, you know, I'm having trouble. I'm rubbing shoulders with my brothers and my sisters. And, you know, sometimes they get offended at me and they let me know it. And I didn't know I offended them and I didn't know why they got mad at me. And it offended me that they got mad. And then I had to forgive that and let that go. We're these little stones in the brook that David picked up to put in the sling. We're getting smoothed out. The Spirit of God and the stream of God is smoothing us, the rough edges off of our lives. And God's getting us in a place where He can use us. He can use you to defeat the beast system out here. And so this is not only just a time to commemorate, you know, where we've been, where our forefathers brought us, but it's also a time of rejoicing, thankfulness of what God's done for us, how He's blessed us, and it's a time of thanksgiving. It's a feasting time, feast on not just natural food, but to feast on the good things of God. We sing that song. Think about the good things God has done. Yes, He's done some wonderful things. I'm glad the youth are back tonight. Brother and Sister Painter, Sister Boyd, and Sister Lynette sick tonight. Even Caleb got a little bit sick, but they had a really great time on their youth meeting. I'm looking forward to hearing reports on that. And so, you know, sing tonight if you feel to sing. Testify if you feel to testify. Preach if you feel like preaching. Do whatever you feel like God wants you to do. Let's commemorate what God's done for us, His blessings on us. The Spirit comes in to give us a time here to shout and rejoice, or whatever God is asking out of us. Let's try to yield to what God wants here tonight, and let's lift up the holy name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praises. He's worthy to be praised. His benefits. Hallelujah. I'm thankful tonight for the benefits in the kingdom of God and the blessings that He's blessed us with. Hallelujah. What He's done for us. I'm rejoicing tonight in what God has helped us with and what He's given us. And then I want to even look forward to the year ahead. And with expectations to believe and have faith that God is going to do some things for us in this next year. I'm looking forward to what God has for us. And I want to rejoice in that some. So I want to back up and just give y'all room here, talk and share your part here tonight. And so just take your liberty and let the Lord bless you. God bless your hearts. Amen.
To be changed. like this vessel you can't use. Then, Lord, give me a new start, and I'll do all I can to be acceptable in your great plan. Oh, search me, Lord, I pray. I am willing to be changed. Forgive me for the years that have passed, not answering to the things you've asked, for the thoughts that hinder me. Lord, cleanse and make me free. Your service is my heart's desire. Can I prove to you a faithful child? Oh, search me, Lord, I pray. Oh, I am willing to be changed. Oh, Lord, search my heart. I'm here to be a working part. If this vessel you can use, Lord, give me a new start, and I'll do all I can to be acceptable in your great plan. Oh, search me, Lord, I pray. I'm willing to be changed. Yeah. I'm here to be a one.
here lately, I've been thinking on those ways, you know, the last 3 days, you know, thinking, you know, God, change me, creating me a clean heart, a clean mind. How can I be like you if I don't, you know, do for others the way you want me to do it? I want to be able to be a servant to your people and to be able to be a part, to be a part of your church. I know you have to take part, and I want to do as much as I can. And I know I'm not doing enough. I know that. And I know a lot of, I don't want to talk negative, but I know a lot of things has to do with my health. But I know God can touch me, and He has. He has touched me so much, and I have so much to be thankful for. This past year has been like a roller coaster, and it's just up and down. But, you know, I think there's more ups than downs, and I thank God for that, because without the downs, I wouldn't be able to get up, and I thank Him for that. And I'm thankful that that I have, you know, I have a big family. I do. I have a big natural family, but it's like, you know, I'm more closer to this family here. These are my, I can't hardly wait to come to church on Wednesday or Sunday. And I'm thankful that I have this family, and I'm thankful that God one day saw something that knew that it was, you know, worth in His kingdom to be here. I don't know if I'm saying it the right way, but in other words, that I I meant something to Him, for Him to take, give me that chance that that's the only way that I can make is through His mercy and grace. And I know there has been a lot of prayers gone up, and I know that I have a long ways to go too, but I don't want to think that way. I want to think of that I'm one step at a time, and I'm going to make it, and every time that if I'm down, you know, somebody, you know, just last week mentioned, you know, hey, where are you? And I said, I'm climbing this mountain, but I'm on my way. I'm getting there. You know, I'll be okay. And it's just like, you know, oh, I don't know how to express myself, you know, as good as I want to. But I know God knows my heart. And I just want everyone here, I'm thankful that I have a granddaughter that is searching and seeking for the Holy Ghost, and trying to help her think, you know, this is the way I was told when I was younger, that when you get your mind off of everybody around you, which is kind of hard when you're hearing all these voices and stuff, but get a picture of whatever you might think God looks like, you know, and sitting there, and that worked for me. You know, I saw Him sitting like in a big throne, and He was looking down at me, and I was just looking at Him, and I was just praying. And the next thing I know, I felt like I saw a big old light just coming right and touch me. And that's when I started speaking in tongues. That's when that was my experience. And so, therefore, you know, I thought, well, it worked for me. Maybe it'll work for some of the younger kids, you know, because I know that they have problems trying to get their mind on God. And anyways, but she's doing everything, you know, and I feel like, you know, if she doesn't get it tonight, she's going to get it. You know, this is her time, and she's so serious about it. She told Brother Smith, she told me verse, and I said, tell Brother Smith. She goes, I just feel like God is skipping over me, and we, even though we both said, no, honey, He's not, you know, and don't think that way. And he prayed for her to, you know, get rid of that spirit, but she's such a little grown-up, you know, in her mind. She thinks too much. And I wish I could think like that. I'm more of a child. But anyways, I just want to express my gratitude to each one of you that's been here for me through my surgeries, through every time that I've gone through something. And also to please, if I did offend you, you know, please come to me or forgive me for, you know, because I would never do anything intentionally to hurt anybody. And I know that that has happened, because I know I've been hurt, and I know that person didn't know she or he hurt me, but because of their attitude or the way they looked at me, you know, and I thought, you know, they don't like me or whatever, because I always thought everybody should like everybody. But, you know, my son told me, Mom, that's not so. Even in church, you know, it's kind of hard. You have to learn, and because it's easy for me, you know, to open my heart to everybody. But not, I guess it's not, everybody's not like that. And I'm too gullible. And But anyway, I'm learning, and never too late to learn. So I just, like, again want to say thank you. Thank you for being my family.
Jay, is that you? Girl, I'm having a hard time keeping up with you. Anyway, that's Shay, everybody. And she brought Mary Ferguson. That's her first time to be with us. Mary, we're glad you're here. God bless your heart. All right. I don't want to set any kind of order here, but I do hope some of those of you that went to the youth meeting will give us some kind of report. I just get nothing but good reports from the meeting, but I hadn't got any details, especially personal details. So hope the Lord let you all share that with us sometime tonight. They told me that was Shay back there, and I said, the girl with the color of hair that Shay had the last time I seen her is not Shay. They said, look at the other one. I said, is that her? I finally decided it was. All right. We're so glad they're here.
I'm not a young person, but I did get to go as a chaperone. So all I can say, there was so much good that happened in the meeting. I don't even know where to begin, Brother Smith. It was when we left early with the intention of going to Brother Jolly's at El Dorado. And it was a really good service. Brother Jolly was very open and welcoming to us. He went above and beyond in hosting us. They let us stay in their housing there. They fed us. They just showed us so much love and welcomed us. And they had such a sweet spirit, and never had been there before. Their building was just beautiful. And anyway, I felt like the Lord covered us there. And then the youth meeting in Mount Carmel from the very beginning, Friday, it started at 11, and you can just tell that the Lord was there and ready to bless the young people from the very beginning. And every time the Spirit would come in, all the young people were always, all up front. And I think I told Sister Sherry this. It was like a wave of the Spirit. I just stayed back and watched. And it was like you could just watch the Spirit. And it was the first day, it was like it was hitting some of them. And then it was like a wave. It was like it kept going back and back. And I was watching it come into like the owls. And in my mind, I thought, I wonder if that's going to make it back to me. Because it was just, you could just see, if you could see the Spirit, you could see it. I mean, it was that strong, just watching it. And then our young people personally, every single one of them, we didn't have any trouble out of them. Wouldn't expect to, but anyway, they were always up front and engaging, and there was a lot of good testimony. It was like a lot of testimonies, and it was like it just flowed. Honestly, I can't even remember what the theme was. Do you remember? It was just about calling on your life, and Brother my brain, Brother Pete, the pastor there, he opens every youth meeting, since it's the last youth meeting of the year. It's an ongoing tradition, and I can remember when I was a young person, you know, getting up and asking the young people who read their Bible through this year. You know, people, he had them stand up, and then he started encouraging them to do things. And then he asked them who would be willing to commit to do one good deed a day. And he wanted them to stand up. And you could just see them look at each other. One, you know, I know me as when I was a young person, it was hard to make a commitment because in your mind you're thinking, okay, if I fail at this, you know, I've let the Lord down. And I'm not saying that's what they were thinking, but it was like you could just see they were kind of like, then they each started standing up, you know. And it, even in my mind, I was like, can I do that, you know. And I started thinking, okay, I'm a mom. I do good deeds every day. That's not what he was talking about, you know, going out of your way to do a deed. And it just got my mind thinking, okay, what can I do? And he was even encouraging them, and he even engaged them to give him ideas. And some of them said, go to a nursing home and sing to the elderly. And some were like, take the trash out without being told and stuff like that. Wash the dishes without being told. But he was wanting them, you could just tell he was wanting them to think on a deeper level, what can we do? One good deed a day. And I stood up, so that therefore I'm going to have to, you know, so y'all pray for me, because when you commit to things, you know, you need to follow through. But a brother got up on the last day giving his testimony about how he got there. And your first thought was, oh, my Lord, this is going to take forever, because he was very simple-minded, and he just started at the very beginning. He used to be a drug dealer, a drug addict. He, at 12 years old, he ended up in prison, in jail. And he said you could just see that he was going nowhere fast. And but through the process of it all, he was a Catholic as a child growing up, and basically, he didn't really get what he needed to from that, and was searching other places for what he was trying to find. And obviously, he wasn't in the drugs, wasn't in the alcohol, wasn't in the dealing, and you know, all that. But he talked about how he got to a point that he ended up at his home at hit rock bottom, and just called out to the Lord, and the Lord came in and helped him. And then a little bit after that, a minister or preacher showed up at his door that really didn't think very highly of him, because he was selling drugs to his son, you know. But this preacher showed up at his door, and he was telling him what was going on, and he, you know, invited him to church. And then he ended up at the campground. He was saying he ended up there with long hair, and when he first stepped on the campground, there was a young man there that he used to sell drugs to, and he's like, "Hey, what are you doing here?" You know, like he was like, "You know, how'd you get here?" But anyway, he was talking about how in the meeting they were up front, you know how they do, praying for everybody, and he said they looked over at him. It's like they forgot everybody they were praying for, and they went over and started working with him. And, like, the Lord helped him, and he's here, and he's changed. And but in his testimony, it kept building and building. And you can just feel the spirit in the room change. Tears started flowing, and you could just tell that he was touching hearts. Because God can change even the lowest of people. He can reach down and take them from, the guttermost and raise them up. And you could just see that in this brother, that he lifted him up. And it got to the point that the Lord came in and the spirit fell, and everybody started worshiping. And there's so much more to this meeting, young people, that I'll let y'all tell. I don't want to tell it all, but I'm just really thankful that I was able to get to go. Like I said, our young people did really well, and I felt blessed to be a part. I'm kind of loving having this team thing going because I get to actually be a part again. So I know I can't go to all of the youth meetings with them, but because I'm sure they don't want mom tagging along all the time, but I'm thankful that I did get to go with them, and thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to great things in this new year. This 2013 was a hard year, but it was also a year of growth for me. Even just recently, I was struggling with some things, and I called Sister Smith, and she took time and talked to me. And I knew she had things going. You know, she's taking care of her mother-in-law. You know, and I even sent her a message before. I said, I would really like to share something with you and talk to you. And she stopped what she was doing, had her day, and took time for me. And I really appreciate that, Sister Smith. Because in talking with her, it showed me that what was going on in my heart, I could let go. And I feel like the Lord has given me peace. And I feel like I can move on. And can move on and not hang on to my past, not hang on to the bitterness I was hanging on to, and move forward in this new year and be a better wife, and be a better mother, and do what the Lord would have me do. I've held back out of fear, out of failure. You know, I don't want to fail the Lord. So in feeling I don't want to fail him, I feel like I have failed him because I'm fearful of failing. But anyway, he'll pray for me that I will do what he's calling me to do. And even if it's just to be a bathroom cleaner, if that's what he wants me to do, if he wants me to do be Sister Sherry's psychic in the kitchen, I will do what he wants me to do. If it's just to be here and be an example, I want to be a good example. And I desire y'all's prayers, and I'm just thankful to be here and be a part.
I'm thankful I got to go to the meeting. Like my mom said, the spirit was really, really strong throughout the whole meeting. I'm glad we got to stop by El Dorado. I had a lot more on my mind before I got up. But I'm just happy to be here tonight.
I'm definitely glad I got to go to Mount Carmel. It was my first, like, youth meeting, and I'm glad that I got to get closer to all of my friends in the church. And I'm just glad that we get the chance to serve God in the way we do, and that we get to, we don't have to worry about what other people think about us, because we know that God looks down on us and just says, good job, instead of other people looking down on us and saying, are you crazy? I'm really glad I got to go, and I hope I get to go to the next one.
I'm also glad that I got to go. Like they said, it was really amazing there. You could, like, really feel a spirit, and every song, everyone was out front praying with each other, and it's just really good. Glad I got to go.
Well, I was really thankful I got to go to the meeting. I didn't know for sure if I was going to go, but I'm really glad that I had a ride and was able to go. Like everybody else said, the spirit was really strong, and I could feel really closer to God. And this new year, I want to draw closer to God and not draw away, because I felt like I've been feeling like I've been drawing away from God, and I'm just thankful I got to go.
I'm glad I got to go to Mount Carmel. It's the first time I got to go there, and the Spirit was really good.
We've had some, I think everybody's had some real ups and some real downs, some things that happen, and good things, good experiences. I've seen the Lord work some miracles this year. That's what I don't want to forget. I don't want to lean on what happened. I want to grow from what happened. And I feel like, and this is terrible, I'm 64 years old, and it's not terrible I'm 64, because if I was saying this, I'd be dead. So I'm 64, and I'm glad I'm still here. But my point is that I think, I was telling my husband, I said, why does it take so long to get here? And I don't mean to the age of 64. I meant the mental part of understanding some things. And I just don't believe it has to be that way. I think the Lord can touch your mind sooner. But we had some real, seen some real miracles this year. Sister Elsie is one of them. Has God lifted the cancer off of her? No. She should have died last January. She should not be here. That is a miracle. God has not took the cancer away, but it's a miracle that she's still here. I saw some other miracles in the Ratliff family. I've seen some miracles of salvation and touchings of people's lives in our family and other families. I've seen God take some people out too soon, but he had a purpose for it. I mean, to me, it was too soon. They were precious people to my heart, ministers, young ministers. But God knows. They didn't just die. He just chose not to keep them here. And I appreciate what God did, but this, what I was going to say that sounds terrible, that I felt like this year, through everything, I felt like something changed in me that never has changed before. And it keeps changing. There's something different with me this year. I'm not expecting anybody else to see it. It's encouraging to me to know that I can still change. I always said that the older you get, it's harder to change. It's true. And you see somebody and you say, don't even worry about them. They've been like that all their life and they're never going to change. I don't want to be like that. Sister Smith's been like that all her life. She ain't going to change, you know. There's things in my spirit and my things that maybe you don't even see that I want to change. And you can't make yourself change. God has to do it. When I first came this way, I saw something, and I wanted it, but I tried to do it within my own strength. And many years, I beat myself up and lived in condemnation. And that's not what God wants. I wasn't living in the joy of his salvation. And now I live within his salvation, but I know he's there to help me. And then when I don't do what I know he's dealt me with, I just say, Lord, forgive me. help me again today. And I just appreciate tonight's service. I think it's been an awesome service. Someone getting the Holy Ghost. Someone being born. I think the fellowship's been good. I felt the Spirit's been good. I felt the preaching's been good. I am so thankful to be with y'all tonight. I never know from one service to the next if I'm going to be able to make it. And that is one thing that's happened to me this year. I never have felt until this past several months that when I got to go to church, I say, oh, I get to go to church. I get to go to church. You know, before, you always could go to church and you just went to church. You never thought, I get to go to church. You just say, I'm going to church. Now I'm at a place in my life with my mother-in-law that is an absolute privilege to be here. And it's always been a privilege, but I didn't know it. I did not know what a privilege it was to walk this way and to be able to enter those doors and to be serving the God that I have. I knew it, but not as much as I know it now. And, you know, I don't know why the Lord has kept my mother-in-law here, because there's been a couple of times in the last couple of months we thought we were going to lose her. It might be for me. She has got the sweetest, sweetest spirit. I mean, and she still jokes around and she still cuts up, but I know that she could be down tomorrow, you know. And I don't know why the Lord's kept her, but it's been a blessing to keep her. And y'all just keep praying for her and her health and for me. The Lord's touched me in many ways in taking care of her. So it's been a blessing. But I really wanted to say how thankful I am to be here tonight. And I'm looking forward to 2014. It's going to be a good year. And I just really appreciate it. And I don't know, I might go to the next youth meeting with them. I'm a fun chaperone. Somebody might have to go chaperone me, but anyway, I just appreciate being here tonight.
I just thank the Lord for being here, and I thank God for bringing me to this church. I mean, I thank God for so much. He's been so awesome. He just worked so many things out for me this year. You know, when I first came here, I pulled up in the driveway. Me and my mom, we was here, and we turned around. But it was a lady that pulled in the driveway, and she just waved at us. But for some reason, we went back home, Brother Smith. And then my mom went back out of town, and I moved here from West Memphis to stay with my family. And back home, I had went through some difficult times. I went through a divorce and, you know, separated. And a lot of things was left to raise my kids. But I thank God for taking me through that. And I thank God for blessing my mind, you know, to continue to serve him. So when I came back by myself. And I was afraid. But I said, Lord, you knows all things. And you guide me here. So you led me here. So when I came up in the door, y'all was downstairs, and Sister Crow was up here, and Brother Crow was up here, and she came back there where I was, and she told me she didn't want me to sit alone. She wanted to be with me, and, you know, that God was going to bless me, and I came to the right place, and I felt like home, and I thank God for that, that, you know, I did not go back out there, you know, trying to find another church home, but when I do miss, I be back at home at my old church, and I still be in service. But I do miss you guys, and I love you guys. I thank y'all for taking me in and my family and showing me love. I thank God for that. And also, them are my two nieces. They're from West Memphis, and they just encouraged my heart tonight to get the Spirit of the Lord, and it brought tears in my eyes and joy, because I know that I'm living a life that they can see, you know, that look up to God, and it's, I want to be a good example. And also, Brother Smith, I'd like to testify about the job. You know, I was working through the temp service, and I was doing my best, like you were saying tonight. You do your best, and you humble yourself, and the man will come in, and he'll see, and they'll promote you. So I was just doing my best and did not know that the owner of the job, he would come in the evening time, about 3:30 or 4 o'clock, and we leave about 5. So he was looking at me working, and he told one of the supervisors, he told her, he said, what do you think about Tiffany? And she said she's a good Christian girl, and, you know, she tried to do her best. She come and work on time and do the best that she can, and I really would like for her to come work for the company. And she said, well, he told her to go ahead and ask her would she like to work for us permanently. And I was like, yes. Thank you, Lord, you know. It was awesome, you know, and I was thanking God for that because God has really brought me through, and he just really blessed me in the year 2013. And I know he's going to continue to bless me. And he blessed me with my own place. I forgot to tell you guys that, but I thank God for that, you know. And I just thank God for just meeting my every need and providing for me and my family. And I love you guys, and I ask y'all to keep on praying for me that I go stronger in the Lord.
Really appreciated this service. I was just thinking, I didn't mean it really tongue-in-cheek, but I was thinking, when Brother Smith, what he said, that was worth the cost of admission right there. I mean, it was feeding my soul, Brother Smith. I've been thinking about that camp recently, just thinking about going over some of those teachings that we've had, thinking about the three C's, don't criticize, condemn, or complain, thinking about practical application, but that's not why I got up. I was thinking about some of the things Sister Tiffany said and some others about being thankful for this past year. And I would be very remiss if I didn't get up and just thank God for bringing me through this past year and for blessing me in a great way, you know, at the beginning or at the end of 2012. I felt like I was in a holding pattern. You know, I was trying to have faith. I was trying to believe that God would see me through some challenges, some things that I was going on in my life. And I had shared with a few different ones about some experience that I'd had with God that I'd just been praying, Lord, what direction do I need to go in my life? What do you have for me? How do I need to get through this next year? I need some help. And all I just kept hearing from God was just wait. That's it. I mean, if I got that, you know, I'd be praying, and then it would just be like I just would feel wait. You know, it's a lot easier said than done to just wait and to just be patient and just to see, you know, okay, Lord, okay. I don't have anything else to do. I'm going to be here, so I'll just wait. I'll just have patience. And then around the end of November, somewhere in that time frame, I had been praying, and I had a peace, but just was praying and saying, Lord, you know, whatever you've got for me, you know, I want to have my eyes on you. And I for the first time, I felt it was changed. I didn't hear wait. I had watch and see. And let me tell you, something jumped in my soul because I was like, ooh, I know I didn't just say that. I know I felt that. I know that felt that God was trying to talk to my heart. And I was just like, you know, I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm looking for, but okay. And it was after that I I'll just share some of this testimony. But I went to my cousin Brittany's wedding in early December. And then after that, you know, didn't think much of it. And then after Christmas last year, I got a message from Chelsea and just asking about, said that she had met my mom at the wedding and that she just was wanting to get her a gift. She just had fell in love with her. And next thing you know, we're talking, and the next 5 months would just went by with like a whirlwind. And next thing you know, July 6th, I was married. And it was just like, you know, it truly was one of those things where I was like, wow, where'd that come from? Because let me tell you, I'll give some flowers. Sister Smith, and I'll say to Brother Smith as well, they, you know, they were trying their very best to help me to seek God. And Sister Smith, she was definitely trying. And I mean, you know, I went to Dominican. I had my eyes open. Okay. I was seeking God in any way. Just Lord, whatever you would, you know, help me just to have peace in my heart. It wasn't that I just wanted to get married. I wanted to have a peace in my heart as far as God. Just help me to be able to grow through this. Help me to get the strength. Help me to someday be able to use this experience to somehow help other people. And I want to say I'm thankful today that he helped me with that. And he lifted me up. I didn't have any answers. I didn't know what direction to turn other than to him. To lift my hands to him and say, God, I don't know what to do, but I'll just wait. I'll just watch you. I'll just keep my eyes on you. And so I wanted to get up and say how thankful I am to be here. How thankful I am to be in a place where I have heard messages on patience, on waiting, on seeking him, on putting out a fleece, on just saying, God, you know, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but you do. And I'm thankful for that. I really appreciate that. And I was also thinking about this last weekend. Let me tell you, you know, I do appreciate, Smith, like you said, getting to be here. I get the opportunity, you know, not having that service on Christmas Day. And then we were gone to her grandparents' house, not being here. We were in a service on Sunday, but it wasn't here. It wasn't my home. It wasn't the body of Christ. And I could tell. And that's something that, you know, my son even, you know, I asked him, I said, well, what did you think? And he was just like, it was just not there. He was like, this is what he said. I didn't coach him. He was like, I said, well, what did you think about that, what the minister said today? He's like, he used some big words, but he really didn't say anything. I was like, out of the mouth of babes. I mean, it really was that way. And it was even in the song service. You know, I'm not trying to put down that, but I'm saying what I thought back to Brother Daniels and his testimony when he said that God spoke to him a sincere people. And I was thinking about that because in the worship, I mean, I couldn't feel anything. I was hungry. We hadn't been in service on Wednesday. I was like, you know, I'd love to feel some of that Spirit of God right now. And it was just like when service was over, I was thinking, okay. You know, I felt as empty as when I got there as when I left. But when I came in here tonight and the band struck up and my brothers and sisters started worshiping God, I felt that sincerity. I felt that peace. I felt that true worship. And I was just so thankful to feel that. And I want to lift that up. I don't want to take that for granted. Being raised amongst this group of people, I don't know what it's like to come in from out there. I strayed from this path, but it's different. This is all I know. But to be able to go and to feel that and to realize, God, oh God, you've had such mercy to allow me this opportunity. I don't want to take it for granted. Every day, every moment, I want to give him that praise. I want to lift up his name. I want to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for being able to come in here and to hear that message on camp. Let me tell you, oh, that was just working something inside. Just to hear those things again, to go over those, to realize that, you know, I need to be cognizant of my attitude. You know, it's not just the attitude of happy or sad, but it's truly, what am I letting define my attitude? What is it doing to me? How am I affecting others by my attitude? My motives, have I even checked them lately? Where's my heart? Where is my priorities? Well, God, for this year, you know, I'm not making a resolution, but I'm saying I want to be here next year. And if I don't check my priorities today, if I don't check my attitude today, then I won't be in the Watch Night service in 2014. I'll be someplace else. So I want to check it today, and I want to say, God, I appreciate you. I want to lift up his name. I want to say he is worthy of all praise. And I thank the Lord that I can be here amongst God's people. And let me tell you, in that service, they did a great job. So many people came up. So many people introduced themselves and said, hi, it was glad to meet you, and all of this and that. So, I mean, as far as that went, it was there. But feeling the true love of God is something different. Feeling that deep down inside, like Sister Tiffany was saying, I've come home. This is home. I don't want to neglect that. I want to lift that up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my brothers and sisters. And I don't say that lightly. I say that, thank you, Sister McGowan. Thank you, Sister Debbie. Thank you, Sister Ratliff. Thank you. Thank you. I want to say that with an openness, with an appreciation. You are my brothers and sisters. You are my mothers and fathers. You are my uncles and aunts. Like my mother said, we have a large family in the natural, but I don't spend time with them. This is my family. This is my life. This is what I live for. And I don't want it to be something I say, but I want it to be in my heart. I want you to see it in my actions, in my life. I don't want to die for Him today. I want to live for Him today. I want to live my life for Christ. I want to give my all for Him. That way, that light will shine. That light will shine and someone else can see that light. Maybe I can, in this year, you know, that would be something that I would love. I would love to be able to show someone this way. Hey, I've got precious jewels over here. I've got gold and you can have it too. I don't want to preach this truth like it's a lie. I want to live it like it's the truth. I want to live it like it's precious. I want to hold on to it. I want to protect it and say, you can't have this, but I'll give it to you freely. You can't have mine, but there's plenty for you to have. So I just wanted to get up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here today. And I love you all very much.
I just want to say I'm thankful to be here. And as my dad said, that church, as you say, it's as dead as a doornail. There's nothing to it. It was just showbiz, basically. There's nothing else to say, but wow. I'm just glad to be home.
Whatever they want. But we don't do that. What we do is fill out after the Spirit of the Lord. We try to find what God wants to feed us, what He wants to sit on our table. That's the difference. Out there, they don't seek the Spirit of God. They have their head. They have their covering. What does the Scripture say? You know, can't remember the scripture, but anyway, they set their own table and they have their own feast, but it's not the Spirit of the Lord doing it. It's not God isn't the head of it, actually. And we've been taught on these things because the church world out there doesn't teach on those things. But I think what he felt was it was programmed and not filling after the Spirit of the Lord. Here, if we have a need, we can take it to the ministers and they'll pray for us. We believe in touching and praying and healing. All the things that God built us for, He made our bodies in a perfect state at one time. We fell from grace. And He can bring us back to a perfect state again. And that's what we're reaching out for and what we're striving for. We want to get back to where God put us in the first place so that we can enjoy all His wonderful creation, all His the paradise that He created for us. We don't want space interrupted or destroyed. We don't want to do anything out of time that God doesn't want for us, because in His time, He will teach us all things. And I love the Lord. I love being here at church. It is our mother. It's comforting to come to church. I was driving here tonight thinking, oh God, what if we didn't have church to go to? There's countries in this world that don't have a church to go to. They have to meet in homes to worship God and come together. And it says to forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. In my name's sake. And I'm so thankful for this church to be here still in the body of Christ. And whenever they did communion and everything at the Lord's Supper, it's a mystery. And the church world, they do communion in a different way than we do. But we feel like he poured out his lifeblood for us. And it's freely given. And we don't have to go through any man to reach Jesus. He's there. He's there for us. He's all around us. His spirit is all around us. There's nothing that captures God's spirit. And nothing can keep us from it. He's just precious and a wonderful Savior. He came down here so innocently and was sacrificed. And he didn't do sin. He didn't deserve death. But he suffered it so that we could have another chance. And we're in the Gentile age now. And there's coming an end to it. And we're getting ready to meet Jesus face to face. A time's coming on this earth. I had a dream about it before Brother Tucker died. And I asked him about it. It was kind of a mystery to me. It said, I heard the voice of Jesus speak. And he said that a darkness was coming over the face of the earth, such as had never been since the beginning of time. And there's a scripture Brother Tucker gave to me. I can't remember it right now. But it was similar to that, and I thought, well, Lord, what do you want us to do? And in my dream, things were changing. The wind was blowing. The leaves were blowing. Rhonda was sitting in the car by me, and we were in school, and I had her in the car seat. And then the next thing I knew, she wasn't there anymore. And I was still driving, and the weather was changing, and everything was changing. And I had to face something that I didn't think I could face alone. And I don't know, but anyway, God is there for us. He'll help us through anything. I worked in the public at the phone company and Brother Tally, and I worked in the school with Sister Tally and Brother Tucker's children and Brother and Sister Tucker. And I worked under Brother Lineker too. And they've all had mercy on me and allowed me to be here with the family of God, and I appreciate it. I also know that we have to study to show ourselves a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. And I appreciate that I can hear and understand what God's saying and that I can apply it to my life and that I have an understanding in my mind. I could be where I couldn't understand. So I know all these. Brother Smith has been preaching on these things, and I thank God for the vision that God's given me. I hope I don't ever lose this, and I hope that I remain here with God's people and see it through to the end. That is my prayer and my desire of my heart. And I want to dedicate myself more to the Lord. This is the night before the new year. I want to do that, and I'm going to do my best. I want to dedicate my money. I want to dedicate my life. I want to dedicate my family. I don't want anyone to be lost. I love all you people. I don't want any of our families to be lost, our children. This world is so corrupt, and it's so pulling on the young people and things. I'm so thankful for the youth meetings that we can go to strengthen our children, and I'm thankful to be here tonight to see the new year in and hopefully bring in a better year for the Lord. God bless you all.
I only want to take a minute or two, and I want to give you a little bit of my sister-in-law's testimony. Helen, that's my wife's sister. We've been praying most of this year for her. She had, I'm not going to be up very long, she had ovarian cancer, and they operated on her. She doesn't go to this church, but she's a good Christian girl, and she loves God. And so they operated on her, and that was bad enough, and then they started a chemotherapy treatment, and it was going good, and she lives by herself, and people would come over and help her, but that chemotherapy is a difficult process to go through. It about kills you. But the doctor said it looked like the cancer was going away. And when she went in for her last chemotherapy treatment, they did a CT scan on her, and they said, I'm sorry, it hasn't gone away. So we're going to have to start another round of chemotherapy treatments, and it's going to have to be much more aggressive than what we're using. And that just about killed her there. By then, she had lost all of her hair. And we visited, we went down and we visited with her today. And she says, do you know that, and I didn't even think about this, she says, you lose all the hair on your body, even the little tiny hairs on your back. And she says, do you know when you lose all that hair on your back, all you do is get cold and clammy, you never get warm. She says, you don't realize, just those fine little hairs on your arm and on the back of your neck, everywhere. She says they're there for a purpose. So the doctor started her on this really aggressive chemotherapy, and she really started getting sick. She became weak. She hurt. She had to take pain medication. And she started getting discouraged because she was there by herself, and her mother would come over and help her and her sister, but you're there alone by yourself. And she laid down in bed, and she was so weak she couldn't get out of bed, and she still had weeks and weeks of this treatment to go through, and she was sick. She couldn't eat, and what she could eat tasted really bad, and she was sick, and she was taking pain medication, and she was laying in bed alone by herself. And she said she was so discouraged, she said, I can't go on no more. I can't do this no more. And she just cried out to God. And she said, she told us this today, she said, it felt like arms, someone just reached down and put their arms around me. This was her words. It felt like someone reached down and put their arms around me. And I'd felt warm for the first time. And she said, I went to sleep feeling those arms around me. And she said, that was the first time in months that I didn't wake up, that I got a good night's rest. I didn't take my pain medication. And, you know, the thought came to me. You know, we've been praying for, there's been a lot of churches praying for Helen LaPiccolo. But you know what? And God, I believe God could have healed her the first day that she was pronounced with cancer. Or God could have healed her when she ended that first round of chemotherapy and started the second. But I was thinking, what a wonderful experience. What would it be like to go to sleep feeling God's arms around you? What would that be like to feel the comfort of God and to feel that warmth? And so she had her last chemotherapy treatment Thursday. And they have all kinds of tests to let you know if you still have cancer or not. But she really gave us a good report. She said all these tests came back that way below the levels that they're supposed to be. And she says, I go in Tuesday for the last CT scan, she says, but the doctor says, unless something weird really happens, the cancer's gone, and they've already said, you're going to be able to go back to work January the 20th. I mean, that's a miracle. That is an absolute miracle. And to come through, but you know, when she told us about her testimony, about feeling those arms around her in bed, she started crying. I started crying. And my wife, we just all started crying. And there was one thing. And I believe that she'll take that experience to the grave with her, knowing what it felt like to have God's arms around. And I couldn't help but think, I was laying in a ward, and I didn't know if I was going to have a stroke or not. I had the surgery over here. And the nurse helped me walk down to the end of the aisle, the room, and or actually the ward, and I came back, and in every room I looked at, I told my wife later, I said, my God, what kind of a place am I in? You know, people's parents were standing out in the aisleway crying, and no one looked like we do today. They all looked bad. I started asking God, what are you doing in my life? I got so depressed.
But I'm so thankful I went for that now, because God told me, he said, don't worry, son, I got your back. You know what that means to me? You know, God could have healed me right off the bat, but I'll take that to my grave, that God spoke to me and said, don't worry, son, I got your back. I wouldn't trade that experience for anything.
Joy, joy.
Before we go home, let's sing another song. You are my brother. You are my sister. And I need you. Together in sunshine, together in rain. And I need you. I can't make it all by myself. I need your love, your strength, and your prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God.
14. Glory. Shake hands and be friendly.